This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward and you are tuned in to the flagship show, available every week on video and audio. And on this week's show, we have two members of the pod team at different ends of the pre-season fitness spectrum. Joe Fares is joining us. He's got plenty of minutes under his belt, but praying that I don't get out the podcast bleep test at the end of our recording. Seb Brown. Evening, gentlemen. Seb, let's start with you. How's things?
Not too bad, thank you. I'm very much looking forward to 2 weeks' time when I get to go to Portman Road again. The weather is good, life's not too bad, and hopefully we'll have a busy week of signings coming up this week.
Yeah. Joe, how are you? Back on again?
Yeah, another trip cancelled due to another child having chicken pox. I'm the only person who's suffering with the chicken pox pandemic at the moment rather than the coronavirus one, cancelling everything.
Children just spoil everything. I'm sure that was a holiday largely for their benefit, but I can see from your face that you're gutted as well, Joe. So we'll chat football. That is what you get back out of this, because we did say that Dave would be joining the pod tonight. It's Dave's birthday on the day we record, so happy birthday to Dave Diamond. So we thought, as a gift, we didn't buy him anything. You should have seen what we instead gave him the night off, so I might be using that time wisely. So let's get into things, guys. Let's start with the news. Boom. If you are listening to this rather than watching it, that noise would have made absolutely no sense to you. So I'm not even going to explain it. I'm going to let you use your imaginations to fill in the gaps there. Let's move on swiftly. Plenty of transfer business this time of year, guys. I was chatting to Phil about this probably before we kind of stopped for the summer. I'm really not a fan of transfer nonsense and Twitter's been in the know for the last few weeks, obviously. But I quite like business when it's done. But there's two deals which kind of have been supposedly dragging on for a while. Hayden Coulson in from Middlesbrough on a loan deal, who's a left back, and he was left out of their squad on Friday for their game against Plymouth. But also an exit. Teddy Bishop was going to MK Dons, now supposedly gone to Lincoln. But Seb, it's the time of year where we get these kind of transfer stories. Any thoughts on those two deals?
Yeah, obviously we need a left back. We all know that. Penny's come in, but I'm not entirely sure he's going to be a first choice player. And with Kenlock seemingly out in the wilderness in the bomb squad, we certainly need a starting left back, or at least somebody who's able to push Penny. He was left out of the game against Norwich, wasn't he? Did Warnock say he had a tight thigh or something? And, you know, we don't know if that's true necessarily. Hopefully he'll come in and join us. There was some speculation, I think, at the start of the the transfer rumours, there was some talk about, is it going to be a permanent deal? Is it going to be a loan deal? Now it seems to suggest it is a loan deal, maybe one of those ones which has got a view to make it permanent, but it's definitely an area of the squad we need to strengthen, and hopefully it'll get done in the next few days or so.
And thoughts of Bishop? I guess it's disappointing because of the players that were retained, but for which we were told need to find yourself another gig. I thought Bishop might have a chance, but it's...
I did, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he triggered the option was taken because he started a certain number of games, didn't he? So he triggered the automatic extension. And I kind of thought maybe he was starting in that number 10 role towards the end of the last few games of last season. And I thought perhaps maybe, you know, he might go away. He's on Instagram, I follow him. He seemed to be really, really looking after himself in the close season. I thought perhaps with the view of coming back and sort of really looking to impress Cook, but he's not really had a look in, has he, along with the rest of the bomb squad. And at first he was going to go to MK Dons, and now it seems that the Lincoln move is pretty close to being formalised. It's always disappointing when one of your own, so to speak, moves on, doesn't it? But you know, Cook is very insistent what he wants to do. He knows what he wants for that number 10 position, and I just don't think Bishop gives him what he wants.
No, and to be fair to Bishop, if these rumours are to be true, Lincoln's a decent place to go under Appleton, and MK Dons would have been decent next year. You know, they signed some excellent players, and Russell Martin certainly putting some good stuff together. But as we say, those deals are yet to be confirmed. We've got one more bit of transfer business we'll talk about at the end. But let's move things on. And talking of the bomb squad, Joe, you continued your trips out on a Tuesday evening with your Instagram filters on maximum quality to see Ipswich under 23s that need a market. And you saw Flynn Downs, Caden Jackson, Miles Kenock and Brett McGavin. Anyone impressed? It was a 1-0 win, wasn't it?
So yeah, 1-0 win. Maybe not. Chiruera, the name that I struggled to pronounce the other week, I'm still struggling this week, scored the goal. This one was better than his goal at Dartford, which was a good goal. But that's a decent run out. But all the first team players play properly, if that makes sense. Jackson gets about well and does what Jackson does, gets him behind and tries to pull balls back for people. Flynn Downs turned it on for sort of 15, 20 minutes at one point. Kenlock gets up and down quite well, defends well and attacks well. And McGavin just does what McGavin does. So none of them are just phoning it in there. They're all trying. But it's, I don't know, it just seems strange when you look at the sort of makeup of the first team squad and how sort of the lack of depth we have in central midfield when you've got Flynn Downs, Teddy Bishop and Brett McGavin sort of playing for the under-23s, where you're then having to play Cameron Humphreys, who's more a sort of left-sided player centrally yesterday. That is, they must feel that they're close to somebody coming in for those, because otherwise, why wouldn't you just try and bring one back into the fold almost?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't follow the Blue Monday Instagram, and if you don't follow Joe Fair's Instagram as well, you really are missing out. I mean, it's a shame that we'll start going to more established stadia for away days in the next few weeks, because lovely sunsets, Joe, and framing of the Abbey at Bury. It was.
There's some lovely grounds in the Suffolk non-leagues, and
it's a real gift. It's
nice to get round them. This is the only time of year that I do so, when we have these sort of early evening games in the summer. But it's nice to get out and see what's going on and see these clubs, and the setups of all these Suffolk non-league clubs seem to get better and better each year. So it is. It's good for the year. It would just be nice if one of the clubs could really push on and get maybe into the Conference South, Conference National, and then we could use them as a sort of a place to send some of our young players out on loan, sort of get some good relationships there. But they're all Bury, Stowmarket, Needham. They're all clubs that are going very much in the right direction at the moment.
And lovely Suffolk countryside as well, which is now I'm back, I can be the advertising, the tourist board for Suffolk. Come on, Seb, come on down to Suffolk. You can come for the football and stay for the Abbey at Bury St Edmunds. There you go.
The Adams.
Yeah. I can't find a segue for this. This is almost as clunky as the little.
Just make the noise again. Noise.
Cobbold Stand mural, Seb. We kind of saw this come to life as people leaked images as it was being done last week. Just to remind everyone of the absolute state that it was before, kind of peeling plastic on the windows. And you couldn't really see in, or I'm sure out of those windows. Absolute disgrace. Kind of the weird kind of shutter things and kind of umbrella kind of kiosky kind of, which I think are still there, to be fair. But our good mate Marcus Barrett, who you can find on Twitter, I think we've retweeted his kind of his images of all of the stuff that ended up being put up. And Marcus has got an excellent store. In fact, that image over my left shoulder is a Marcus Barrett original. And Joe's pointing as well. So Marcus has done some excellent business with the Blue Monday team. But great to see this is probably the most tangible site of stadium improvement that Mark Ashton's been bemoaning since he came in. Great to see this progress and a really great thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the stand that I sit in when I get to Portman Road. My dad sits in that stand. So as you queue up to go to the turnstile, as you approach it, it just looked awful, didn't it? It looked so tired, so run down. It sort of shows how we've fallen away in the last few years. And we've said it before, you know, standards start at the top. And if your place of work is shabby and looking tired, it's naturally going to translate to the on-field stuff. So it looks really good. It's just simple things, isn't it? I don't imagine it would have cost that much money. It's simple things, simple murals, and it's starting to look really, really good. And then we've got a few other tidbits throughout the week, didn't we? We've got contactless bars now at last in the 21st century. We finally caught up with the rest of the league. The car park, I think the lines have been painted, and we've got some of those wireless QR scanners for your tickets at certain gate points as well. So it's starting to hopefully come together. Ashton's been very clear, hasn't he, since he joined. The stadium is something he wants to fix, but it's going to take a bit of time. He's spoken in the past about the pitch and everything. That's a much longer term project. But just doing these little superficial things, if you can do a couple more, I mean, if they can get that light, the Portman Road light, the Mistresstown badge light lit up again, so you can sort of see it in the distance from Chantry and give the whole place a clean. It'll all make us feel so much better and, you know, hopefully start to set the standards again.
Yeah, I think it is just the penny pinching as well, because there was talk of the sort of the cashless or contactless cards being used throughout the stadium previously, and they're like, oh, you have to pay £40 for each machine, and if you have one on each bar, then there's too many of them, so we'll put one in each stand. And it's just like, that's not good enough in this day and age, is it, to not be able to accept card payments at sort of 90% of the bars in the ground? So it's good they've got that sorted. But like Seb was saying, that side of the stand did look dreadful, and I think it's been made worse because sort of the Drummer Monkey and the garages along that part of the Princess Street have been pulled down. Even sort of my wife had sort of gone past there the other day, sort of saying, oh, it looks terrible there now, sort of, because you can see it now when normally it was hidden there. You could just see the top of the stadium, but now that's come down, you've got a real opening into it. But yeah, I went to the game yesterday and sort of walked up it and read it all, and nearly everyone, as I was doing, I turned up about sort of 1:15, and everyone sort of that got there did exactly the same. They all sort of walked down Portman Road to the start and followed it back up there. And you could tell that everyone was really impressed by it. I think it looks great. I think they've picked the moments and the pick players up there nicely. I think there's a good mix of sort of young and old players in there, sort of a bit from every era. So, no, I think it's done a brilliant job, and I think it's just up to the team now and to sort of live up to the expectations on the side of the stand.
Yeah, it's nice that there's kind of a linear, there's a timeline that runs through it. There's a little bit of a narrative. So, kudos to our mate Marcus, and another great job by him. And I've already tweeted the club, and I've already subtly asked Marcus. It'd be great if they were available as prints, because I've got some space on the wall that I need to fill out. So hopefully something happens there. On to more disappointing news, Joe. And again, no real surprise when it happened. Midfielder Liam Gibbs, 18-year-old, joins Norwich's development squad with compensation agreed without the need to go to a tribunal. On the cards, but disappointing nevertheless, and plenty of lessons to be learned here. Or are you of the school of thought that he was unlikely to get game time here under Cook perhaps this season? What's your take on it?
Just massively disappointing, really, in that you pay all this money to run an academy, and I know we're only at category two as opposed to category one, but it's still a multi-million pound investment every season to run the academy. And if you can't keep hold of a player who's sort of undoubtedly been the star of his year for the last 3 or 4 years, in that as soon as he signed his scholarship, he had a professional deal tagged on the end. He didn't play at all for the under-18s last year, bar the Youth Cup games, straight into the under-23s. The sort of professional contract on his 17th birthday, the player that jumped up and played a league game for us last year, he is the one that has been sort of pushed on more than anyone, and we haven't seemingly made any real effort to keep him. I think there was a deal offered to him when Lambert was at the club. His sort of representatives or himself said it sort of wasn't enough of what he wanted. It wasn't far off, but it wasn't enough. And the negotiations weren't reopened again until the day his contract was expired, and they offered him the same figure at that date, effectively. And it's a bit, I know, it just seems disappointing. I think you can give the club a sort of a pass on this one, maybe at the moment, because there's obviously the new owners and new CEO has come in, and there's probably a million things on his desk that he's got to deal with, and this maybe not being prioritised as much as it should have been, but it slipped through the net. But these things happen, and it's just a case of making sure that it doesn't happen again. That, for example, the next one at the moment is probably Cameron Humphreys. You can't get him turning at the end of his season and walking out on a tribunal without us not making an effort to sign him. So, yeah, sort of have to do better next time, really, as a club. But it is what it is now. And like I say, he's got a 4-year deal at Norwich, and sort of good luck to him there. Hopefully, yeah, Not against us, but sort of don't begrudge him anything. I just think we haven't done enough to keep him after doing so much to push him on over the years. It must be frustrating for those in the academy setup.
I think the concern is as well, is also, I understand, you know, this season is all about getting promoted. Cook's clearly, you know, he's got to deliver this year from a first team point of view, but we don't want to be seeing to let the, you know, the good things about us and the academy and stuff almost go to waste a little bit by focusing totally on the first team this season. That would be my concern, is that they're throwing all their eggs in the first team squad, and we certainly don't want to be seen to neglect some of our brighter prospects, because, you know, even if we don't go up this year, a few games for the likes of Gibbs and Humphreys and stuff could set us in a good stead for next year. So that would concern me a little bit, maybe a little bit of short-termism from the club.
I think the problem you find is that if things go well for the first team, the short-termism and mistakes that may get made tend to get forgotten about. But it's when you look at sort of like when Roy Keane came in and you made all these big changes, you sold Jordan Rhodes and amongst other things, and then the club goes downhill and he goes uphill, and then it's seen as this massive mistake you've made. If Liam Gibbs comes through at Norwich and does well and plays for them in the Premier League, if we get promoted this season and they're in the top 10 of the Championship the year after, it's almost like, yeah, Gibbs went, it was probably best for him to go, but we're doing well, so it doesn't matter. So it's all judged in that, not hindsight, but it's judged on how well the first team do affects everything else. If we're in the Premier League in 3 seasons, nothing that's happened before is seen as a bad thing because it's obviously worked. But we'll see. Hopefully we're not bemoaning this decision in a few years.
Yeah, one of those ones where you're gutted to see him doing so well potentially for them, but he's it's unlikely that he'll play for them in the Premier League this season. It sounds like he'll be in there. Under 23s of the development squad. It wouldn't be surprising if he ends up online somewhere to me. But
they tend to have signed a lot of players like that for an under 23 squad that they send out on loan, and then they either come back and play for the first team, or they're able to subsequently make a profit on the transfer of them. And
that kind of money is no skin off their nose, really, is it? Unfortunately, sadly. And as a League One club, that's what happens to you, unfortunately. But focusing on possible additions then, bringing us right up to date. I'm not sure, unless you guys know about this one, maybe this is a Football Manager kind of what I always, there's always a situation where you sign a player just randomly on Football Manager, and then a year or two down the line, the club end up signing them. So if anyone knows George Edmondson of Rangers, centre-back, 23, then good luck to you. We'd like to hear about him. But guys, this deal seems close according to certainly media in Scotland. Always good to have a second opinion there. Lots of kind of moving parts with this one. He was on loan at Derby last year, who are interested but under an embargo. And there are other League One clubs kind of sniffing around but only willing to offer a loan deal. And it seems that Rangers want a permanent deal. He's only made 17 appearances for them, and 4 of those were as a sub. He came through at Oldham. But at 23, guys, Seb, this feels like, you know, if he's got good pedigree and, you know, it's an area of the team where we're lacking strength and depth, absolutely, this all seems good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, good age, good pedigree. Rangers have got about six centre-halves, I think, ahead of him in the pecking order. He's played a bit of the Championship as well. Clearly impressed enough at Derby that they wanted to offer him something, but they can't given their financial situation. So this seems to certainly tick all of the boxes. He seems to be quite a physical player from the very brief things I've been reading on Twitter and on the message boards. He seems to be a bit of a unit, which we've seen in the past can be very, very useful at this kind of level. 23 years old, so a decent sell-on potential in the future. It's certainly an area we need to strengthen, but I would perhaps also like to see maybe another one come in at the back, a sort of a more experienced Sonny Bradley type player, you know, that kind of thing that we missed out on, that 29, 30, 31 year old to really help out with the younger ones, because I'm not sure having Toto as our most experienced senior centre-back going into the season is entirely wise.
No, well, that's a really nice segue into match action on Saturday. So let's go there.
Match action.
We were saying in the green room beforehand, to steal a GB term, that so these are little bumpers for the bits of our agenda, just to try out. If it's too jarring, I would change the audio. But it was a little bit last minute. But I'd quite like for the match action. Joe and I were reminiscing about when you couldn't get the commentary on the radio and they'd be playing music and having a chat, and then suddenly it would cut to Portman Road and, oh no, it's a goal, or you have goal action. So maybe I need to do something around that. So give us your thoughts. If I can spend a bit of time, if anyone's got any tape recordings from the early 90s, then it'd be fantastic to get hold of those. But for now, I would do better than maybe the noise we just did. So apologies for that. Joe's expression. It's not that loud, is it, Joe?
It just takes you by surprise, doesn't it?
It takes you by surprise. So apologies if anyone spilt their tea into their lap or something. So we were talking about Toto, who made up the centre-back pairing for our game against Crystal Palace friendly on Saturday. First things first, Joe, you talked about this already, but must be delighted to get back to Portman Road. You were one of the lucky few who got to the games tenor last year, but presumably a totally different atmosphere this time around.
Yeah, no, it was really good, actually, to be fair. I took my eldest down there and a friend took his boy, and we met another friend down there early, went into the fan zone, and like I say, just had a beer in the fan zone while the kids kicked the ball about. There was games of football going on, everyone just sitting outside having a beer and enjoying themselves, really, well, which is, you? Yeah, I got myself on camera because I can smell a microphone out from any distance.
Over here.
But it was just, it just felt so normal there. And I don't know what it was like in the other stands. And I've heard in the North Stand, the sort of concourse, there wasn't a lot of masks being worn because most people in the concourse were having a beer or having something to eat, which obviously you can't do with a mask on. Where, like I say, in the West Stand, as it is at the moment, so you just went in, it was all open at the back. I put my mask on to walk up the stairs because I was sitting up in wide block because I thought I'd treat myself as it was only £11.50 a ticket. And I'd say, and then you walked out to your seat and that was it, really. You just sat there and watched the game. But no, that atmosphere was good. I thought it was a much more than a normal pre-season atmosphere. There was a real sort of edge of people getting excited at the right things, which when you've been watching a lot of games with a fake crowd noise over the sort of last year or so, you've sort of forgotten what it's like to do that. And I say Norwood, a bit of pressing from him sort of got the crowd going, and sort of when the Palace striker missed a chance early on, the sort of crowd gave it the and it's those sort of sounds that you've missed from being at the football. Just, and there was only, I didn't actually announce the attendance. I've heard it was 6,000, but I said there wasn't many there. But like I say, in 2 weeks' time, there's going to be 20-odd thousand there, isn't there? And
yeah,
really looking forward to that. Like I say, I don't see how the sort of protocols are going to work with that many people in the ground. But
I've done 65,000-ish at Wembley for the Euro semi-final when all bets were off basically there. So I would hope that there's a little bit more discipline. That's what we want, discipline.
Super spreading.
And respect. So, fingers crossed. And this is a Crystal Palace team with some pedigree chum in it as well. Patrick Vieira's second game in charge there. I'll just list some names for you, Seb. You know, Butland, admittedly on the bench. Klein, Coyote, Tompkins,
Sessions. You
know, MacArthur, Morrison, Schlupp, Zaha, you know, Ayew. That's the kind of, that's what Joe was drinking in on Saturday.
Absolute top class, isn't it? Yeah, it was a really, really strong Palace side, and it's great to see at this stage of the season. You know, we can sort of test ourselves against. It's okay playing, you know, some of the lower kind of teams, but it's great to really, really test yourselves against the big boys every now and again.
Yeah, and lots of new signings featured. Joe, I'll ask you kind of who stood out in a second, but Lackey in goal. Vincent Young made a surprising return. Lots of people on Twitter, you know, getting a little bit worried about Vincent Young. They're now getting worried about Lee Evans, but who missed out on Saturday, but should be back on Tuesday. Penny's in there. Enciala and Wolfwinden at centre-back. I guess no surprises there. Cameron Humphreys, we talked about. He got a start. And then, yeah, the new boys, Burns, Harper, Piggott, Fraser, all appeared alongside Norwood as well. And two up front, Joe, was it like that, or was one of Norwood or Piggott a little bit deeper?
Generally, one was a bit deeper. More often than not, it tended to be Piggott, sort of a bit deeper, sort of playing more as a 10 role. But they did alternate. But it wasn't one player playing off and the other one going off the back of the last man. It wasn't a front two, so to speak. But Piggott. I don't know if anyone else thought he seems to have a touch of the James Scowcross with regards to his hold-up play and movement and getting on the ball around there. So no, I thought he did quite well, and obviously hit the post with good effort as well.
Yeah, and it seemed to be the tactic there, and it was certainly paying off in the first half. And for most of the second, it sounded like Palace were more the dominant, which you would expect. And you know, Wilfred Zaha, it's a cliche, but we're not to see Wilfred Zaha up and down League One every week, are we? But he was certainly giving Toto and Matt Penny plenty to be dealing with. But Joe, sounds like they were pretty wasteful with all the chances they got. 0-0 at half-time, obviously. But Palace probably could and should have been in the lead at half-time, would you say?
Yeah, it was a strange one because the game was relatively even, and we sort of passed the ball about quite well, got into some decent positions without really doing a huge amount. But we did get caught on the break a couple of times. I think the first chance, which Matiti scuffed over, was when we just got hit on the break, and then straight from that, Penny gave the ball away in the left back's position, and they had another decent chance. But that's like we played well enough that it wasn't a. I think when you look back at the highlights, it makes it look a lot worse than it was, because you just see them in decent positions and you didn't really see any of us nearly getting into decent positions. But no, it was a decent, even game in the first half. But Palace's Premier League quality obviously shone through at certain points with just that speed on the break and the pace and power and how they managed to get the ball into sort of decent positions.
And we'll kind of talk about, I mean, there's... You mentioned the chance for Piggott that hit the post second half, which a lovely move by the look of it. I saw it, was able to see a few bits and pieces of highlights, and you know, that was a move that involved Vincent Young and Burns and Norwood all kind of linking up together, which was great. And then 60 minutes, kind of Vincent Young probably got a little bit bored, as probably most fullbacks do, of being tormented by Wilfred Zaha, and decided to give him a penalty, which he smashed into the roof of the net. Seb, from your perspective, you know, 0-0 full time in this one. There's not been too many goals scored, and there's clearly, I'm watching Colchester with my brother-in-law Tom on Tuesday night, so I'm giving plenty of stick there. Hashtag winnable game, where potentially a chance to get some goals here, but keeping Palace to one from a penalty with that team, does that give you a confidence?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, we had a couple of players out of position, a couple of inexperienced players, which I guess goes back to what we were saying earlier about the depth not being there in the squad. But, you know, yeah, it was at the end of the day, it was a penalty that beat us. They've got some top draw players. You know, Schlupp was playing, IU, Zaha being the main guy. And from all the accounts of the reviews and Twitter, I think it seemed to be a decent shift from our guys. We had a couple of chances, didn't we? The Piggott one that hit the post, and the Burns one, which he sort of caught hold and fired it straight down the throat of the keeper. But I like the fact as well that, I know we've not scored, but both those chances are people looking to get the shot off early. I mean, how many times in the past have we seen, you know, the player take the touch or turn back into the midfield and perhaps look to lay it out to the wings? Both Burns and Piggott, when they were in those positions, the first thing they thought to do was to get the shot off. And hopefully, you know, as things go on, we'll start to see the fruits of that.
I guess two questions for you, Joe. The raft of usual second half substitutions, which introduced quite a few young players, quite a few of which those who were attendance on Saturday might not have seen before. I'm thinking particularly Armin. I guess we've seen him for the under-18s in the FA Cup. Healy and it was Matt Ward who kind of made a kind of the biggest impression. Bailey Clements came on as well, and Tanasian and others. But yeah, talk to us about Matt Ward, kind of from Wroxham, is it? I think.
Yes, it's a strange one. He's one I haven't seen much of because obviously he signed in the pandemic, but he wasn't eligible for the Youth Cup ties last year, which were some of the only ones that you were able to watch as a non-match going sort of person, and because he played in an early round for Cambridge City. But I think I looked into him in the past, and I think he's been based all around the world previously, like Germany, Hungary, and had lived in Shanghai for the last five or six or seven years. Had come back from there and was playing for like Cambridge City, I think, when we scouted him, and then brought him in on an extended trial and soon offered him a pro deal, which runs until the end of this season. But this was in sort of February, March. But yeah, that was the first time I'd seen him today, and he did well. He sort of brave with the ball, sort of making some runs where he took two or three players out in one hit, sort of ran, chased his fullback down and won the ball back off him and gave a simple pass from there as well. So there were some decent moments for him. He was probably the one that made the most eye-catching moments of all the subs that came on. But yeah, he's had an interesting career path to date, so he might be the one that can push on from there. This is always a nice thing about pre-season, seeing some people come in that you wouldn't normally get a chance to see. And it's also the chance for the manager to see these players in the games, because if these guys come in and make a contribution that makes him sit up, then they may be the ones that are getting pushed on. It might not be till next pre-season, but they're the ones that get pushed on, and it's probably where we are, where it seems Cameron Humphreys and Albie Armin have seemed to be the two in the under-18 squad that are really, really pushing on, because they've shown a lot in the Youth Cup games last year, straight back and sort of been in first-team pre-season. So every time these young players have the manager's eyes on them is a chance for them to impress him and maybe get pushed on.
And it sounded like you were impressed with Scott Fraser. Any other and Piggott, were they the pick of the new signings for you?
Yeah, well Fraser, he looked a long way off the pace of the game at times, but it's just when he got the ball, he managed to pick up some really, really nice passes, sort of left footed, and it's the pass where you're missing out the two men to hit the third man who's making the run in, which is free from the defender rather than taking the simple pass, and he's doing those in the final third when under a bit of pressure. Only two or three times he did that, but it's still two or three times more than we've seen from many, many players over the last couple of seasons. So it was good on that side. Yeah, I thought Piggott held the ball up, but I think probably my man of the match was the keeper, Hladky, just good hands, sort of dominated his box. He's loud as well. You hear him in the stands. I know there was only 6,000 there, but he seems a vocal presence. He seems a very comfortable keeper. And I'd say, I think he could turn out to be the real sort of key signing that we make this year.
And wearing a bright pink.
Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it?
Keeper shirt, Joe. Is that on your shopping list? Sorry.
It's nice. I don't quite like the purple.
The collar's a bit weird.
Yeah. If that was a nice sort of black or a grey, sort of a anthracite grey that went with it, that would be even better. But no, it's a nice looking kit, but I don't know if I'd quite pull it off.
Wow. Don't knock it till you tried it. I think there's a yellow one, isn't there? I quite like the black and grey one, which reminds me of the kind of...
Yeah, the yellow one is actually in the club shop at the moment. That is available.
So, I need to make a decision, but... with Football Shirt Friday in mind, I'm starting to recycle a bit, so I need to make a bit of a purchase. Nice one. Let's ask some questions. And, of course, questions means we're moving on to the next section of the pod. Here's a big, loud noise.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Badoosh. Joe's gone. He's back. I've shot him with my laser gun. Let's go back. Evening to Mark Beck. Always a frequent flyer in the questions. Evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, Mark, and anyone else. Seb. It directs this to anyone. Hello, chaps. We've talked about this, in fact. Get your take on this. Summer has seen the club tighten up in the information leaks. But I guess the George Edmondson deal is a case in point that maybe Mark's talking about, that that's kind of come out of the blue. Particularly regarding ins and outs, have you preferred hearing less rumours? Yes. Or does it leave you more anxious, especially with lack of links to positions of need?
I quite prefer it, to be honest, because I trust this sort of ownership and this director level, if that makes sense. I trust them just to get on with it. I don't think they're just doing nothing like the previous regime might well have been doing. There's clearly been talk, hasn't there, since Ashton did the interview with the Kings of Anglia and said, look, these transfer rumours on Twitter and stuff are hurting us. There's clearly been a bit of an effort, I would think, from the media outlets to not publish things until deals are pretty much done. Was it Piggott and Fraser, within about an hour of them being leaked, were suddenly there holding the shirt up? So I do much prefer it this way personally, because I simply trust them to get on with it.
Yeah. And it takes me back to the good old days. I've often spoken about this. I say often, maybe once. When we signed Marcus Stewart, I totally out of the blue. It was like a Thursday afternoon or something, and it was suddenly everywhere. And not even a sniff of that. You know, not even we were looking at him and he was kind of on a shopping list. I miss those days. I like having surprises, because everyone bloody loves a spoiler in 2021.
So I'd been on the phone that day to Club Cool and they'd broken the news earlier.
60p a minute.
Yeah. Texting, looking at
it. I'd never have gotten away with that. My parents would have killed me had I phoned Club Cool. Premiership star linked. And it's surely like Michael Clegg joining on load.
Surely it was. Did you not have a Nokia 5610 with the pay as you go SIM card at that point?
I had my Genie WAP, where I could pay £10 a month for unlimited credit and unlimited WAP.
Genie WAP. I remember dialing into the commentary, because you used to be able to call it on match days and get the commentary. And I called in, do you remember the promotion season? Might have been the promotion season where we lost at QPR away. Did we lose away?
3-1.
Got smashed.
Right towards the end of the month.
Chris Kawamu scored, did he?
Yeah, Johnson got our goal. But it was about two before the end of the season, I think, wasn't it?
I think I called in for that, for big chunks of it. And that was not fun and very expensive. So lesson learned, kids.
And people moan about iFollow these days.
Yeah, bloody hell. Get on Club Call. Joe, Michael Smith, as in Mike Clacton Smith 1 on the old Twitter. An interesting game yesterday, but the defence was breached far too often, and this could easily have been a heavier defeat. What is your view on the centre-back positions? I think we've kind of dealt with that. But he says Burns looked terrific.
Yeah, I thought Burns did look sharp as well, just picking up on that point. He looked quick, wasn't afraid to go at his man and go from there. I do think that it's harsh to judge the centre-backs yesterday, because sort of sitting in front of them was Cameron Humphreys and Lee Evans. And when you see, Cameron Humphreys and Rakeem Harper, who aren't the most experienced players, in sort of putting it mildly in Humphreys' case. But when you saw what they were up against, it was going to be a difficult afternoon for them. I thought both Toto and Wolfie defended well, really. I thought Toto especially when it's sort of putting his body on the line, that side of the game he did well. There are other parts of it he didn't do quite so well at, but I thought that side of it he defended well. And I thought Wolfie looked sharp as well in there, but they were just up against better players and had not enough support around them.
And I guess, not wanting to put words in your mouth, but to Michael's point about defence was breached far too often, we've kind of talked about the calibre of the opposition.
Mm.
And it's a team that is trying to impress a new manager as well. Did you write much into Palace's dominance, or, you know,
no,
division gap now, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not too worried on that. I think we've got a long way to go on that. But I do think, in reality, we probably still need sort of a left back and two centre backs, don't we? Like, one of Wolfie or Toto might play, but realistically, I know we've just spoken earlier about the Edmondson there, but I think we probably need two centre-backs, and I'd say we definitely need a left-back there as well. So things will look very different. And that was Vincent Young's first game of the season. I thought he was at fault for the penalty, but you're up against a top-quality player, a player that makes Premier League defenders look silly. So I wouldn't be too worried there, but I would be worried if we're talking on the 1st of September, we haven't managed to get any signings in, but I'm sure that won't be the case.
Yeah. FPL Tractorboy _switch. Seb, the fairy tale return to PR for Bon, but how much game time will he get? When we get a left forward in and Fraser moves to the number 10 role, we then revert to one striker. Piggott odds on to start. Surely he looked level above the Norwood yesterday, who did work hard yesterday. But yeah, the kind of two up front that Joe was talking about for yesterday was really one withdrawn. To FPL Tractor's point, he thinks it'll be one up front and another winger in, and Mitchell in the 10, and Fraser in the 10, Scott Fraser in the 10. Point on Bond, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, Piggott, you would think, being the having the numbers that he's got, he's going to be the main man to start. But I guess what's crucial is that we've got the likes of Norwood and Bond to really, really push him. Last year, there were times, weren't there, where we looked at the bench and you couldn't see where the goal was coming from. But this year, at least, we've got some real, real options. He can play wide left, can't he? I know some of the Charlton fans were saying, or the QPR fans were saying, that's not his best position. He is an out-and-out striker. But with the smaller squad that Cook wants to go for, it's important to have that versatility. So I think he'll definitely have a role to play. And what a moment it must have been for him, you know, finally playing at Portman Road, having been released back in, was it 2014 odd? He was released and he's worked hard and come back to us. And I think all three strikers will push each other. And I think they'll all have major, major parts to play this season.
It's about finding the hot hand as well, isn't it? Playing, if you come into the game, if Bon starts the first game of the season for whatever reason, scores twice, then he's going to be the one that's got the shirt. And I don't see Cook as a manager who's just going to just give it back to his favourites. I think he, at the moment, everyone's got a clean slate, and if you score goals, you're going to play, aren't you? So it's up to the players to take their chances.
It's like how Lambert used to have two senior goalkeepers. You know, and it was, if you're the one in form, you get to keep the jersey. We were never able to do that with strikers because they were always injured. So I agree. It'd be nice to have a form player with two very capable, dependent deputies. I mean, Caden Jackson's still on the books. He was on the bench on Saturday as well. I suspect he'll end up leaving at some point, but, you know.
It was a strange one yesterday with Jackson, because he was the only sub that didn't get on. And Whether he was there to cover the fact we were trying to play two up front in case one of those got injured early, and Cook didn't want to give a youngster the full game, but then you had Bond there. I don't know. It just seemed a strange one. But the coach did seem to go out of their way to talk to him before he went off down the tunnel with about 10 minutes left.
Arm around the shoulder. Tom Dixon. Oh, Tom, come on. I know it's early. Sorry, I know it's against a team nearly full strength, but we honestly still didn't create anything going forward. Strikers are isolated. And it did feel like, similar to the past few seasons, we are still playing long ball. Is it me being negative, or would you agree, Joe? Do you want to deal with that one?
Yeah, I thought we were trying to play it well enough. I think there was elements of good movement. I know there was a longer ball played for the Piggott chance, but that was Burns and Vincent Young working the ball out of defence well. I think you could see little partnerships developing across the pitch. And yeah, like I say, maybe I'm looking at it with two blue-tinted specs on it in sort of the hope that things are better than they are. But we do seem, and at Dartford, we do seem to have a very definite way of trying to play, and that is getting the fullbacks pushed forward with the wingers, the central midfielders getting the ball out quickly to the wide areas, and the wide players getting the balls into the box. So, I'm sure we're not anywhere near where Cook wants us to be yet, but we do seem to be heading into a very specified sort of position, and he knows exactly what he wants, and he knows the players he wants to do it, he knows the style he wants to play. So like I say, I'm not worried at the moment. I think we'll be fine.
And it was never going to be the case with all of these signings coming in, and with Paul Cook kind of getting used to things as well, and getting things the way he likes, and Mark Ashton coming in and blah blah blah, that everything suddenly was gonna click. So there is a sense, surely, that there's a little bit of a slow burn needed. So I wouldn't be panicking quite yet, Tom. Still pre-season. Chris Peach, decent performance from the lads, but the squad is still a bit thin. How many more signings? How many more, Seb? He suggested left-back, centre-back, and an attacking midfielder, and a couple of wingers.
Yeah, I'd be thinking definitely a left-back. I think we've got to be looking at five. Joe's saying seven. I think five or so. I think six. We need two centre-backs, a left-back, probably probably two wingers and another central midfielder, given that Nolan might be struggling. It sounds like he might not be there for the start of the season. So potentially another five or six, certainly, hopefully, to come. If you look at the squad, I guess goalkeeping, strikers, and right-back is probably the parts that are settled. Everything else at the moment is still needs work.
Yeah, it does sound like we're still in the market for a central midfielder, even though we've got Fraser in, and everyone thought the Crooks deal being off the Borough was the end of that. But no,
I think you can see why we're still in for a central midfielder when in reality we had two players out yesterday and we're starting a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Like I say, yep. we are short there. We're short in most positions other than those Seb mentioned.
And then John's kind of supplemented this by saying, having Vincent Young at right back and Burns more advanced looks very encouraging. Big concern regarding Vincent Young is, of course, the injury record. Is there a concern that our plans for the right side of the pitch are fairly fragile unless we can add another right back or another right wing? Because Burns, I guess, can drop. We share concerns about that. Wouldn't it be good if we could get a centre back who could play right back? Anyway, he's a coy. Any thoughts on that one, guys? I'm just staring.
Yeah, I don't think Dinashian is the answer at right back. I think I'd be much more comfortable if we signed a couple of wingers, and when we needed to play, if Vincent Young doesn't play, I think Burns plays at right back and we have a winger ahead of him that can link with them, rather than Dinashian being a solid defensive player but not a player that's going to give us enough going forwards. And these fullbacks seem so key to what Cook wants.
Was there an obvious understanding yesterday, Joe, between Burns and KVY? Were they linking up well? Or
yeah, they seemed to. I think it was more sort of down to just Vincent Young's intelligence with the ball and the way he just attacks it and hits the spaces. And I know his passing and his first touch just seem so positive always, that when he sort of takes control of the ball, he takes it with that touch that beats a man almost, that goes with it and goes off from there. So it's, I don't know, they seem to have a good understanding down there. It's just, like I say, when you look forwards and on the left-hand side, you've got sort of no real left-sided play. You had Fraser there yesterday. At Dartford, it was sort of a combination between Bonn and Norwood and Dobra. And it just seems that that's a key player. And like I say, we've spoken for a couple of weeks about Bersant Salina. Maybe that would be his role on the left-hand side there. And I think he'd be able to play with anyone in this league.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll see about that. Deaf info, imminent. It's all gone a bit quiet, hasn't it? Will Airy asks about number 21. That was Matt Ward. We talked about him, so we'll move on from that one if that's right. Will. Seb, our good friend Mullet. Given the latest copper release is orange and the official away kit is white, should we not have released an orange third kit instead to put that Barcelona kit once and for all? Put to bed that Barcelona kit. What's your thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are the kit aficionados, aren't you? The pair of you. I mean, the Barcelona kit, I think, is fine. We've had a couple of years where the first Barcelona kit was barely worn, so I guess they felt they'd better get some more usage out of it. Had for those of us that went out and paid 50 quid for it, because they only wore it, I think, Blackburn away was the only time they ever wore it. The copper kits are lovely, aren't they? Let's be honest, they are stunning, but we are where we are with Adidas at the moment. It's always going to be a kind of a stock shirt. Orange is always good. When we have orange away shirts, we tend to have good seasons. You know, I'm thinking of the promotion season. I'm thinking of the 14-15. That was an orange shirt. I don't
18-19.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't count the 18-91 because that was so bright. It was like Hi-Vis PPE, wasn't it? But yeah, an orange away kit is always a good shout. Did you go and see the white shirt, Joe, in the store before the game?
Yeah, and it does look a lot better sort of in real life than it does on the pictures, because on the pictures it looked like a PE kit almost, but there the sort of stripes across the horizontal sort of grey stripes are more obvious, and I think it's one of those shirts that needs a name and number on the back, because otherwise it's just too, even the shorts have the Adidas stripes, but they're in black on black, so you can't even see them. It's one of those ones that I think once you've got a name and number on the back, Skybet League One sadly badge on the arms, it does look a lot better as a shirt. So who are people going to be getting on the backs of their shirt?
Sheeran, 1.
17 he has on his in the,
is it? 17,
in the images in the...
I should know. All over his TikTok.
Maybe we'll leave that number 17 blank for him to make an appearance at the end of the season win the league in March, and we've just got 10 games to kill at the end of the year.
Stick him on the programme, yeah. And continuing, yeah, Luke Penning continues my thoughts about the pink keeper kit. The collar is a bit iffy, but I do like it. I've often thought we were long overdue something like a gimmicky pink kit. To answer Mullet's question from my own perspective as well, I know I live in Ipswich now. I'm going to talk about Coventry from time to time, if that's all right. It's not that I support them. It's that I was local and therefore I know what's going on. They introduced a third kit last season, I believe, which only went on sale to season ticket holders. I do agree with Mullet that there will be instances next season where, I'm trying to think, you know, Wigan, Sheffield Wednesday,
Bristol, where they got relegated, didn't
Bristol,
they?
Where I don't think a solid blue or a solid white is going to do the trick, and I wouldn't be surprised to see something else come along. So why not? Given I've been a bit critical of the kits being a bit unimaginative. They're fine. They're kind of 6 or 7s out of 10 rather than 8s, 9s, and 10s. Why not do something a bit bold and brave and make it available to the season ticket holders or something like that? Not for free, obviously, but anyway, just a thought. If anyone's listening from Ipswich Town, there's an idea for you. Paul Simcox asked us about Evan's injury, but we think he should be back for Tuesday. Anyone heard anything?
They said that after the game, and it didn't
crane a couple of days. They said John Nolan as well would be back in training sort of early this week, but
there you go.
And he's obviously been out for a lot longer, so that might take him longer to get up to speed, though. So,
AWITFC, who wore the armband? I thought Toto did.
Yeah, it was Toto. Yeah, it was.
But we think Evans will be captain. It feels like he's kind of Cook's go-to guy.
Well, Evans wore it at the previous Dartford and at Fulham when Toto was on the pitch. So, Evans had been the captain ahead of them previously.
And I'm going to butcher his name, and I did ask him about the pronunciation, so apologies, you're going to have to remind me again. Sindre, anyway, back for Jack, so we kind of alluded to it, but quick one on that from both of you.
I can't see him forcing his way back in. He doesn't work in the setup that Cook wants to play. The only strange thing, I guess, was they did trigger his option, so they must have thought they would have moved him on by now, but for whatever reason, he's still here, isn't he?
I think they had £1 million on the table for him last summer, and they had a decent offer on the table for him in January. So I assume they think they can pick up £250,000 for him in this window. Whether that is the case or not, I don't know, or whether he can be used as a make weight in a deal. But he is obviously a player that has retained some value.
Yep. And there you go. That is your questions. Thank you, as always, for your contributions to the pod. Always useful driving the debate. And you'll be pleased to hear I don't have another one of these kind of weird, you know, idents for signing off and doing some plugs. So that noise is all the prompt you need for where we're going next. And I will put some plugs, some where you can find us along the bottom there for those watching on YouTube. I've already bigged up the Instagram account, Blue Monday Pod Team on Instagram. Go and see some of Joe Fair's abstract Suffolk skylines. They're very beautiful. Some other bits and pieces to plug. did a special pod last week with ITFC Women, who bolstered their professional ranks with Town fan Eloise King, who I'm sure would have been absolutely delighted to have been offered the chance to sign Pro Tems at Ipswich. But we chatted with Sophie Peskett, who is the first of the ITFC Women's team to sign on to Pro Tems, and Kieran Stanley from their media team. So thank you to both of them. Really fascinating chat, if I do say so myself. Really exciting what's going on with the women's team, just as much as the men's team at the moment. Obviously, they've been promoted quite rightly off the back of an application after two seasons of dominance in the fourth tier. So interesting not only to hear the change in mindset, but also the views that they've got for where the club goes to next and how they're building there. So really recommend giving that your attention. It's on the pod feed and obviously down our YouTube as well. One other nod to special shows. I'm just trying my hand at lots of different topics, gents. This week I'm chatting to Ravi Mystery, who's Scrubbler42 on Twitter, I think is his Twitter handle, who is, I think he would prefer the word data and insight aficionado, but he actually does it as a job. He doesn't want to divulge too much, but I'll get him on the show and you know, make him divulge all of the dirty secrets. But just to kind of understand a little bit of that kind of aspect of the game, it's a bit Marmite as a topic. I get that, but I think hopefully
I think it's something we'll probably be doing a lot more of in the club. It seems that Mark Ashton is more sort of data driven on that side, and he has his transfer tracker with regards to values and that side of things there. So it'd be interesting to hear what Ravi has to say about those sort of areas. And I know I've put a couple of questions forward already, but I think that would be a really interesting chat just to see, because I think as a club we are going to be going more that way now, that everything needs to be, it's got to pass a eye test, but it's also going to need to pass a data test as well, because you can't just sign off one or the other these days. The game has just gone too far ahead of that, and you see the clubs that have been able to utilize the use of data. Obviously the most notable is Brentford in sort of what they've done, sort of going through the leagues and sort of now in the Premier League and sort of turning over huge profits on transfer. So that'd be great to hear what he has to say about that, and if there's maybe the club and Mark Ash will be listening in on that one.
There's kind of different aspects we'll spin off on that show, and you know, if people are interested in that kind of stuff and we get good numbers, so give it a retweet and give it a like and all that fun stuff. There's lots of different ways we can kind of spin those conversations off if Ravi's got the time. You know, I think we'll end up talking a little bit about XG, which is always one that splits the crowd, but you know, it's using data not to tell you what you're seeing, but to give flavor and insight to allow you to make better decisions or to even to make better interpretations of stuff that's happening. So there's lots of different ways to cut this. Hopefully we'll do it justice, and yeah, look out for that. We'll probably land towards the end of next week down the usual places. A couple of other bits just to draw attention to. We'll probably do a live show. We've talked about a couple of friendly matches, so we might do another one of our Q&A shows next week. Don't know when, don't know with who, but as always, keep a look on the Twitter for that. Finally, before I hand over to the guys to say the final words, it is the Football Content Awards season, something which always gets us excited here at Blue Monday. Firstly, thank you to anyone who has been motivated to nominate us for the Best Podcast Awards. It's not something we are pushing and looking for you to do. So if you fancy doing that, that is lovely. There's no kind of pod rivalry between us and Kings of Anglia or whoever for that one. It's not a kind of popularity contest, but if you feel motivated to do that, thank you so much on behalf of the team, and what will be on that stuff. But I would also encourage you to look towards the likes of, is it Taylor Poole, the young kid who's got a Ipswich Town channel, and Ben Aerier, and even our own Benjamin Bloom, who does some amazing content on EFL. And if you haven't seen his England reaction videos on his YouTube, definitely worth a watch to watch Ben go absolutely crazy when England scored against Germany and Denmark. So yeah, thank you again for that. Maybe we'll see what happens with that stuff. That's it, guys. You can find me at Ipswich. Seb, what's going on in your life, and where can we find you on Twitter?
@brownS08, and very much looking forward to the first game of the season. I cannot wait to go to Portman Road. I think it was Boxing Day, the 0-0 against Gillingham. It was my last game at Portman Road. And then my last game altogether was the 2-1 at Blackpool. Do you remember there was that storm? Do you remember? Jesus, it was awful. So I'm very, very much looking forward now. Call you in the week. Millwall next week, next weekend. Hopefully some squad numbers. I'm a big squad numbers fan. Hopefully some squad numbers this week or the week after. And yeah, here we go. It's going to be great.
Nice. Love the optimism, Seb. That's good. And you get to do the great trip down the A14, which I know you bloody love.
4 hours in a car. What more could you want?
Brilliant stuff. Joe, what's going on with you?
Well, Tuesday, the first team are at Colchester on Tuesday. And for anyone who's not willing to pay the £18 to go and watch that game and £5 to park their car, you can go to Braintree Town to watch the under-23s instead. So if you fancy a day out in North Essex and are a little bit short of money because you've spent it all on new Ipswich Town shirts and goalie kits and match tickets and season tickets, you might be better off going to watch the under-23s at Braintree. Or, I don't know, I haven't decided what I'm going to be doing yet, just because the Colchester, just how much it is, just annoys me. So I'll see what I end up doing on that.
Yeah, I won't be paying to watch that in person, but I will pay for the stream, I think, and hope that we don't embarrass ourselves so that, well, it's Ipswich Town versus Ipswich Town legends. It will be very fascinating to see how that goes. Joe, where can we find you on Twitter? And most importantly, if you get into your car on Tuesday and Braintree ends up calling for you, where can we find you on Instagram for more artistic Essex scenes?
Yeah, I'm just at Joe Fares, both on Twitter and Instagram. I don't tend to put the pictures up as a post. I prefer them to go on the Blue Monday feed. So you have to keep an eye on my stories on Instagram to see those beautiful pictures with no filter, hashtag no filter.
Lovely bit of cross-pollination there. That is brilliant. That is your lot. Thank you, guys, once again. We'll see you next time. Take care.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.